Chapter 31. I parked at a rental lot outside O'Hare about 5 minutes after seven. I got out of the car with my staff and rod in hand. There was only one old light burning on the lot, but the moon had risen huge and bright, and I had no trouble seeing Michael coming. His white truck came crunching to a halt on the gravel in front of me. I walked around to the passenger door. Sonia swung it open for me, then slid over. He was wearing blue denim and a big black cowboy hat. "Harry," Michael said as I got in, "I was getting worried. You won?"
"Not exactly."
"You lost?"
"Not exactly. I had Ortega on the ropes and he cheated. Both of us cleared the benches. I came out of it in one piece. He came out in a couple of pieces, but he got away."
"Is Susan all right?"
"She got thrown about 25 yards through the air and hit steel and concrete. She'll be fine." Something tickled my nose and I sniffed. The sharp odor of metal filled the cab of the truck.
"Michael, are you wearing the armor?"
"I am wearing the armor," Michael said, "and the cloak."
"Hello, Michael. We're going to an airport, the kind with metal detectors."
"It's all right, Harry. Things will work out."
"Will it sound like alarms going off when they do?"
I glanced at the younger knight and said, "Sonia isn't wearing armor."
Sonia half turned toward me and pulled his denim jacket open, revealing a Kevlar vest beneath it.
"I am," he said soberly. 15 layers with ceramic plating over critical areas."
"Well, at least you don't look like a Renaissance festival," I said. "This thing might actually protect you, besides making a slightly less medieval fashion statement. Is this the new stuff or the old stuff?"
"New," Sonia said. "We'll stop civilian munitions, even some military rounds."
"But not knives or claws," Michael murmured. "Or arrows." Sonia buttoned his coat back up, frowning.
"Yours will not stop bullets,"
Michael said. "My faith protects me." I exchanged a skeptical look with Sonia and said,
"Okie dokie, Michael. Do we have any idea where the bad guys are?"
"The airport," Michael said. I sat there silently for a second before I said,
"Needle, haystack, where at the airport?"
Michael shrugged, smiling, and opened his mouth to speak. I held up my hand.
"We must have faith," I said, doing my best to imitate Michael's voice.
"How did I guess? Did you bring Fidelakius?"
"In the tool locker," Michael said.
I nodded. "Shira's going to need it back."
Michael was quiet for a moment before he said,
"Yes, of course."
"We're going to save him."
"I pray it is so, Harry."
"We will," I said. I stared out the window as Michael pulled into the airport proper.
It's not too late.
O'Hare is huge. We drove around in crowded parking lots and auto-loading zones for nearly half an hour before Michael abruptly slowed the truck down outside the International Concourse, his spine and neck straightening as if he'd heard a warning klaxon.
Sonia glanced aside at Michael and said,
"What is it?"
"Do you feel that?" Michael asked him.
"Feel what?"
"Close your eyes," Michael said.
"Try to still your thoughts."
I muttered, "I sense a great disturbance in the force."
"You do?" Michael asked, blinking at me.
I sighed and rubbed at the bridge of my nose. Sonia closed his eyes, and a second later his expression twisted in distaste.
"Rot," the Russian reported. "Sour milk. Mildew. The air smells greasy."
"There's a Pizza Hut kiosk about 50 feet away," I pointed out, looking through the windows of the concourse. "But maybe it's just a coincidence."
"No," Michael said. "It's Nicodemus. He leaves a kind of stain everywhere he goes. Arrogance, ambition, disregard."
"I only smell rotten things," Sonia said.
"You're sensing him too," Michael said. "Your mind is interpreting it differently. He's here."
He started pulling forward, but a cab zipped in front of him and stopped. The cabbie got out and began unloading an elderly couple's bags. I muttered to myself and sniffed. I even reached out with my magical senses, trying to detect what Michael had. I felt nothing but the usual, patternless white noise of thousands of lives moving around us. I opened my eyes and found myself staring at the back of Detective Rudolph's head.
He had on the usual expensive suit and stood with a spare, well-coiffed man I recognized from the district attorney's office. I froze for a second. Then I snatched Sonya's black Stetson and pulled it down over my head. I tugged the brim down over my eyes and slouched down as low as I could. "What is it?" Michael asked. "Police," I said. I took a more careful look around. I spotted 7 uniformed officers and maybe 10 other men who wore suits and casual clothes but walked and stood like cops. I passed word to them that the Shroud might be on the way out of Chicago through here. "Then why are you hiding?" "A witness reported me leaving the scene of a murder. If someone identifies me, I'm going to spend the next day or so getting questioned, and that won't help Shiro."
Michael's brow knitted in concern. "True. Do the police know of the Denarians?"
"Probably not. SI isn't on the case. Probably they've been told they're some kind of terrorists and to be considered dangerous."
The cabbie in front of us finally finished up, and Michael pulled away from the loading zone and toward the parking lot.
"That isn't good enough. We can't have them there."
"As long as the police are around, it will restrict the Denarians' movements, make them keep their heads down and play nice."
Michael shook his head. "Most supernatural creatures will hesitate before killing a mortal police officer, but Nicodemus won't. He has nothing but contempt for mortal authorities. If we confront him, he will kill anyone who attempts to stop him, as well as taking hostages to use against us."
Sonya nodded. "Not to mention that if this plague curse is as formidable as you say, it would be dangerous to those nearby."
"It's worse than that," I said. Michael rolled the steering wheel toward a parking space.
"How so?"
"Fort Hill told me that the Denarians get a power boost from hurting people, right? Causing mayhem and destruction?"
"Yes," Michael said.
"The curse is only going to last a few days, but while it does, it's going to make the Black Death look like chickenpox. That's why he's here. It's one of the busiest international terminals on the planet."
"Mother of God," Michael swore.
Sonya whistled.